Sunday before Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Would you all rise? We're going to sing number 430, Victory in Jesus, 430. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won a victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and cause the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he sought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. Amen.
As we remain standing, Brother Bryant, would you lead us, please, in prayer this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And now then, who's going to do our Bible reading this morning? There we go. Brother Romel.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Let's read from the Word of God. This is a Psalm of David, Psalm number 16. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extended not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Amen. All righty. Let's turn over to, number 236. 236.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I will wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Amen. Would you all rise and turn over to 281, and we'll have our offering after this song. 281. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim.
forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And he took upon his face the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, a glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, a glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, a glorious day that will be.
Amen.
Father, quiet our hearts now, that we would be attentive to the things that you've laid upon our pastor's heart, that we would use them in our day-to-day lives and apply them as needed. Father, as we partake of this offering, we ask that you not only multiply on this corner, but the mission fields we support around the world, and we will be careful to give you all praise, honor, and glory, for it is in Christ's name we ask.
Amen. Amen.
I believe Brother Johnny has a song for us this morning. So while he's coming up here, I'll remind all of you of our services this evening at 6 o'clock here at the church. Also, Bible study Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock. This coming Wednesday, Brother Sam Burton will be here and will be bringing the Thanksgiving message for us this year. Hey, Brother Johnny.
Good morning, everyone. You know, this past week was my earthly birthday, and I thank God for that. But tomorrow, if his mercy continue, I will see my 29th birthday in serving his precious son. Amen. Oh, what a beautiful, that's the day of rejoicing. Last week was okay, but this is gonna be a rejoicing time. You know, when I got saved, when he had mercy upon me and saved me that day, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, came and made a home in my heart, please. I couldn't catch it. I couldn't catch it. You're coming. It's coming. She will start it again. She will start it again. Oh, she's going. It's not going to work? In my soul. If you can't do it, I just do it a cappella. Acapulco, we call it. One more time. I don't know. You can try it one more time, then it's not. Now just continue on. She doesn't know this. Okay. Oh, I thought I heard something. I'll just go ahead and sing it as it is. In this life, we all start out the same. Will time remember all we took or all the love we gave? Now in my life, what means the most to me are the ones I took time to love and hold so tenderly. When love comes home, it lights a fire in the darkest night. And it warns me in my soul, when love comes home, there will be peace that falls upon my heart. For when love comes home, now in my life, oh, I'm sorry, now man to wife, or simply friend to friend, what matters is relationship abiding till the end. O Son of God, you showed us sacrifice for the giving of ourselves in love is the greatest gift, the light. When love comes home, it lights a fire in the darkest night. And it warns me in my soul, when love comes home, oh, there will be peace that falls upon my heart. When love comes home. It's true, beloved. It's true. When God's love comes to dwell in your heart, you're born again. You're born again. You don't have to worry about it, because the Spirit of God will bear witness with your spirit that you belong to Him. And if it's not, my friend, you have to go back to the throne of grace and cry out for mercy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. All right.
As I was sitting there looking back toward our machine, I figured out what was wrong with it, but I didn't want to interrupt Johnny's song to go back there and fix it. Barbara didn't notice, but Joyce came in and sat down. And it's something about her magnetism that... All right, Joyce. When? Right now? Really? No, right now. Right now. Nancy's gonna play. All right.
This is for Wayne Fox.
And before we sing, I wanted to mention that my wife's surgery had been postponed. They would not do it at any clinic. They had to do it at the main hospital at Zion. So we don't have a date yet, but keep her in prayer, please.
Amen.
And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Soul, bread of heaven.
Open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Matthew. Last chapter in the book, chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Now the sepulcher is the grave, the tomb where Jesus' body had been placed after his crucifixion. And behold, there was a great earthquake. We know earthquakes, most of us who've been in Southern California long enough. You're standing there and all of a sudden the ground begins to shake. And this was a great one, great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers, that's the soldiers who were keeping guard over the tomb, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the most important doctrine in the Bible. If you take the resurrection out of the Bible, you might as well throw all the rest of it away. It's nothing but peeling. It's the greatest thing in the world. The resurrection of Christ is greater than the creation of the universe that you read about in Genesis chapter 1. It's greater than his incarnation when he was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. It's greater than his crucifixion when they nailed him to the cross and he bled and died for our sins. What is creation without resurrection? What is creation? Or what is incarnation without resurrection? Or miracles? Or the crucifixion? You have to have the resurrection. Listen, if God created all things, so what if there's no one here to use them, no one to appreciate them, no one to enjoy what God has made, then why bother? What is heaven without inhabitants? Who would want to go to heaven if there's nobody at home? Empty mansions lining the golden streets. Sounds more like a ghost town to me without the ghosts. Without resurrection, what is the benefit of heaven? Resurrection, the most important doctrine in the world. It's greater than the doctrine of God. Because if there is a God, but you can't get in touch with him, what good will it do you? So God became a human being, lived in a body of flesh like ours for 33 years. What is the benefit of his incarnation if he were killed and did not rise from the dead? Wouldn't make any difference whether he is born of a virgin or who or what his mother was if he didn't rise from the dead. What difference would it make? Let me ask you a question. Are you saved today because Jesus walked on the water? That was a great miracle, wasn't it? Are you saved because Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Are you saved because he went out to the Bethany Cemetery? They rolled the stone away from another grave and he cried out, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus, who had been dead and buried for 4 days, came out of the grave. What good are his miracles if there is no resurrection of the dead back to life after death? Everywhere he went, he did good. He healed the sick. He cured diseases, even leprosy. They just got sick again and died later on. It didn't last. He gave sight to people who were blind. He gave the ability to hear to those who were deaf. He gave the ability to speak to those who were dumb. He gave strength to lame, crippled, deformed legs. But they all eventually died anyway. It was all temporary. Jesus was condemned to death by Pontius Pilate. He was crucified on a cross on Golgotha's hill between 2 thieves. Once his body was dead, his corpse was taken down and placed in Joseph's new tomb. I've been there. I went inside it back in early 1994. It's still empty. still empty. It's a historic place. People travel from all around the world to go over there to see that tomb. What is it that makes it such a unique place? Because it was once occupied by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God the Son. But it's now empty, vacant, deserted, and has been for almost 2,000 years. It took a lot of time and a lot of hard labor to carve that big tomb out of that solid rock, especially for it to be used only 3 days. I stood outside that tomb and I looked at it and saw it with the vision of my imagination through the eyes of these women 2,000 years ago. The stone that was over the door is not there anymore. In the vestibule, we have a picture of the tomb. No stone there. But I could visualize that stone rolled away from that door with a shining angel sitting up on top of it. And with the faith of my imagination, I can hear his voice still saying, "He is not here. He is risen." It may sound crazy, but believe you me, those words of that angel still hang in the air that's around that tomb. He is not here. He's risen. All the soldiers who'd been assigned to guard that tomb announced to the authorities, "His body has been removed." That was a lie. They made money off of it. But the angel of the Lord said, "He is risen." That's the truth. I like the angel's version of it much better than the soldiers, don't you? It is because of the resurrection from the dead that I have no fear of death or of dying or the grave or of eternity. Since my wife died and her body is buried out here at Miramar National Cemetery, Section 9, Plot 828, I too shall be buried in the same grave when I die. My name is already carved on it. And I know the names of the two guys that's on each side of me. It makes death seem a little more personal and real and imminent when I can stand on my grave and read my name on the tombstone. It's almost like being resurrected already. I can stand there on top of the ground and look across that sea of tombstones and wonder what it will be like on that glorious day when the trump of God shall sound and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. And I wonder how many of those graves will be emptied on that day. And how many of those graves will remain undisturbed on that day? And I know that it is His resurrection from the dead that gives me the glorious hope of my resurrection. O grave, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look with me. That angel sitting up on that stone that he's rolled away from the door. We read there was a great earthquake. Now this was an earthquake, not an aftershock, even though it follows the one that they had in chapter 27, verse 51, 3 days before, when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice as he's nailed to the cross. Before he yielded up the ghost, he cried out in a voice of victory, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he gave up the ghost. The earth did quake, and the rocks rent. That means they just cracked open and fell off into gravel. And the graves were opened. That's at the death of Christ, not his resurrection. The graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves. Oh, it's a preview of better things to come, isn't it? How would you like to have been one of those? Can you imagine the stir that this must have created in the streets of Jerusalem? But theirs was just half a resurrection. Coming back alive is just part of it. The good part to be true. But when I come out of the grave, I want to come out all the way. I want a new body. I want to be glorified. I want to wake up in heaven. Not just a restoration to life. But a resurrection from the dead. There's a difference. There's a difference. What else? It says the angel of the Lord descended, came down from heaven. Didn't take him long, because heaven is a lot closer than we think it is. His countenance was like lightning. His clothing, his garments, white as snow. Why, he scared those brave Roman soldiers half to death. They were like dead men. This angel of the Lord, what a guy. He had announced Jesus' conception to both Mary and Joseph back in Nazareth. Over 30 years before. at Jesus' birth. He appeared to the shepherds as they watched their flock in the fields of Bethlehem at night. He ministered to Jesus after Jesus had been tempted by the devil out in the wilderness. He ministered to him in the Garden of Gethsemane when his agony was so great that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, saying, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And now then, he has the honor and the privilege of announcing Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Think of that. The greatest, the most victorious proclamation ever heard by the ears of mortal man. "Fear not, ye. For I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen from the dead, as he said." And then after that announcement came the most glorious invitation. "Come, see the place where the Lord lay." That place is still there. It's been preserved through the centuries for generations of people to see. There are many invitations in the Bible. Some of you may remember Brother Bryant preaching one time on the word "come." "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And then the invitation he gives, "Come unto me and drink." He's the water of life, you know. "Come and see, and go quickly and tell." That's where I got the title of my message. Come and see, go and tell. Tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. "Go ye therefore into all the world." Preach the gospel to every creature. We have a message to deliver. It's a message of life. Life to those who are dead in their trespasses and in their sins. It's a message of deliverance for those who are bound captive to Satan. It's a message of hope for the hopeless. It's a message of salvation to those who are lost and without Christ. And it's an urgent message. He says, "Go quickly. Go quickly." He says, "He goeth before you into Galilee." A resurrected Christ goes before us and paves the way. He leads us. David knew this. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Jesus will never tell you to go anywhere but what he goes with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. We can do all things through him which strengthens us. And he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And he is our constant companion. And then he made a promise to them. He's going before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him. We shall see Jesus. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Another song says, oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his amazing grace. Oh, I want to see him face to face, tell the story saved by grace. What did they do after this confrontation with the angel? They departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. Quickly and run adds haste to these words. He's in a hurry. Hurry up and tell them. Listen to me. When you live in a world where people are dying at the rate of 105 every minute, we need to run. That's 6,300 deaths every hour. 151,600 people die every day. That's a lot of funerals. That means that 55,300,000 tombstones will have 2014 carved on them. 55,300,000. In the past 25 minutes, give or take a few, that I've been preaching, that's conservatively speaking, you know, there have been 2,625 people die. The reality of that is shocking, isn't it? It's beyond our comprehension that just during this service, 2,625 souls have gone out into eternity. Go quickly, run, and carry the news that he is not here, he is risen. I wonder how many of those people that died are saved. But our job is simply come and see, go and tell. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you that he is not in that grave, but that he has been resurrected from the dead. And it's because he lives that we can live. We couldn't live without him. There's no way. There's no way that after our dead bodies are placed in a grave that we can get out of that grave. And even if we could, what would we be? The walking dead. We thank you, Father, for the hope of resurrection that we have in Christ Jesus. And we hold to that statement that he made, because I live, you shall live also. Our hope of living is based upon his living. And we know that Jesus lives. We know that he rose from the dead. I've been to the place. I've seen that empty tomb with my own eyes. And my spirit has been ministered to by the Holy Spirit of God that Jesus lives. And he's coming again. And his coming may be soon, sooner than we expected. It's going to catch a lot of people by surprise. We must be ready when that time comes. I pray that if there are those here today in this congregation who are lost, who've never accepted Christ, who've never had their sins forgiven, I pray that as the invitation is given today, that there will be those whose hearts will be touched and will be moved to walk out and down the aisle and by their coming say, I believe that Christ died for my sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day from the dead, and that he lives forever in heaven. Father, today, let your Holy Spirit work in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Number 477. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. I feel so helpless. If someone is lost, all I can do is tell them about it. The decision is up to them. Jesus is the one who saves, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But there's a responsibility somebody has to call on the Lord. To call on the Lord. God will hear, God will answer, and he will grant the desires of your heart. He'll give you eternal life. He'll give you hope of resurrection from the dead. He's the only one that can. Not joining the church, not being baptized, not any religion in the world, but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who loved us and gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary. He became our sacrifice for sin. Brother Sam Burton, will you dismiss us, please, in prayer this morning?